Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Big Bad Wolf by Jess Sicardo. Narrated by Shayna Somerville and T.J. Clark. Chapter 1. Kenzie. Every once in a while, a loud crash came from inside the house. Glass shattering, wooden furniture splintering. Hell, I was willing to bet six of my toes and maybe my tail that even the Monet wasn't safe from my father's wrath today. Then again, when your father was a fire wolf, a werewolf with an affinity for the fire element, a nasty temper was to be expected. One might even say it was part of his charm. Probably not me, but, you know, someone. It had started out like any other Sunday morning. Four-course breakfast, decadent rose-scented bubble bath followed by warmed, sinfully fluffy towels, and me hiding out in the kitchen scarfing down a microwaved breakfast burrito while trying to paint my toenails orchid, apparently the it color of the season. My father had stormed in as I'd stuffed the last oversized piece into my mouth, a clump of cheese making its way down my chin in a very unladylike manner, and proceeded to give me the lecture. I'd heard it 1,000 times before. Grow up, straighten out, take more responsibility. Except this time, there was a nasty little add-on to the speech I'd memorized. A single sentence that, when uttered, had turned my entire body to ice and begged that breakfast burrito to make an unwanted reappearance. Your days as an unclaimed wolf are at an end, Kenzie. There was more to it, of course. But it all kind of faded to black after that sentence. His words freaked me out so badly that I'd run, pretty much literally, from the house and didn't stop until I'd climbed to the top story of my childhood treehouse in the backyard. Run up the tree like a cat. By my own father. This was a personal low for me. So here I sat, trapped in my own treehouse, waiting for my father to leave for the day. Scuttle off and do whatever alpha wolves did with their Sundays. At least it hadn't been boring. Someone in the house next door to us, the McAllisters, was having as crappy a day as I was. The side door burst open, and a familiar figure stormed from the house. I hadn't seen him in a while, but Slade McAllister looked exactly the same as I remembered. Strong frame, shoulder-length dirty blonde hair, and a bad attitude hovering in the air above him like a black cloud. He got to the middle of the yard before the door banged open again. Gavin McAllister, Slade's leather-clad motorcycle kingpin father, stomped outside after him.
We're not finished,
he barked. Gavin was the leader of the pack whose territory bordered ours.
No,
Slade replied without looking back. He kept walking, making his way toward the back of the yard. Our property and theirs was bordered by the Falcon State Nature Preserve. It was technically our territory, but we allowed the other members in the coalition, a collection of 6 semi-local werewolf packs, to run on it.
Pretty sure we are. I command you to stop,
Gavin said with a deceptive calm. The underlying tone was menacing, but more than that, held the air of authority more befitting of a dictator rather than a father. Slade had no choice. He froze mid-stride and turned slowly to meet his father's gaze. Gavin stalked forward and stopped a few feet away.
You are my only son, so you will do this for our family.
No,
Slade replied.
I won't. And I think we both know that I'm not your only son, so don't try to sell me that bullshit.
It was technically true. Slade was Gavin's only legitimate son, but everyone knew there were a few other siblings floating around. Gavin growled and grabbed the front of Slade's shirt, then hauled him off the ground like he was tossing an empty cup into the air.
You will. That is a command from your alpha.
They stayed like that for a moment, and I had to give Slade props. Even I would have looked away before he did. When Gavin was sure his son was properly cowed, he sat him down and took a step back.
You have 2 months.
Slade made a show of smoothing out the front of his worn leather jacket and rolling his shoulders, then lifted his head to meet his father's gaze.
2 months? To do the impossible? He laughed. Clearly your age is getting to you. You're a strong wolf. An outstanding specimen and prime example of our species. You are pleasing to the female eye. I've seen the way they look at you. This shouldn't be that hard a task. An outstanding specimen. Gavin sounded just like my father. We weren't their children. We were brood stock used to improve the herd. Poor Slade was getting the same ultimatum I'd just gotten. I might have felt sorry for him if I didn't hate him so much. You're forgetting about the blood that runs through my veins, sir. Blood the other packs in the Coalition view as unclean, unworthy. It's about time that changed. It's time to show them how worthy we can be. And how do you suggest doing that? There are exactly 5 girls of claiming age, none of which would consent to be in the same room as me, much less be claimed. You are your mother's son, Gavin said. My hearing was superhuman, even in human form. But my eyesight was another matter entirely. It was a running joke among my family. The only nearsighted wolf in history. But even though I couldn't see the exact details of Gavin's face, I'd bet the bastard was wearing a big, fat grin. Be as charming as she could be. On the rare occasion she wanted to. Slade's heartbeat quickened, and he held his breath as Gavin turned and strolled back into the house. After his father was gone, he let out an enraged howl and slammed his fist into the tree behind him. Once, twice, 3 times, and I could smell the blood. I rolled my eyes. Seriously? I called out. What did that tree ever do to you? His head snapped up. He knew exactly where to look. We'd spent endless hours up in this tree when we were younger. Until he turned into a dick like his father, anyway. What the hell do you think you're doing? He stalked across his yard and propelled himself over the wooden fence between our 2 properties. You had to admire his bravery. Technically, he was stomping around uninvited on another pack's territory. Then again, stupid little details like that had never bothered Slade McAllister. Duh, I said as he reached the bottom of the tree. I settled on the edge of the small porch and dangled my legs over the side. Swinging them back and forth, I added, I'm sitting in a tree. You were spying on me? He glared up at me, tightening his fists, and I couldn't help noticing that his nose still twitched when he was angry. It had been years since we'd spoken. I saw him at school once in a while, saw him coming and going at home from afar, but we hadn't had a conversation since the start of 7th grade. Get over yourself, McAllister. You're not that interesting. Careful, princess. We're dangerous. You should probably watch yourself. I snorted. Watch myself? Why? Are you gonna come up here and get me? Silence. What's the matter? Oh, that's right. You've got a thing about heights nowadays, don't you? It was mean, and a part of me felt bad about ribbing him. I didn't know exactly what had done it, but the rumor was that it involved his father and happened a few weeks after we'd stopped talking. Ever since then, it had been kind of a joke in the wolf community. The badass son of the even bigger badass alpha. Afraid of heights. It had eaten up some of his street cred, and he'd done double time trying to make up for it. Slade was bad news wrapped in a flashing neon warning sign and dipped in dangerous. He glowered up at me, shoulder-length, disheveled, dirty blonde hair blowing in the wind. What do you want? Just commiserating. I pushed off the edge and plummeted to the ground, landing in a half-crouch. Sounds like we have the same problem. The same problem? He repeated with a snort as I straightened and took a step back. He ran a hand through his messy hair and nodded toward my house. Which one would that be exactly? The being waited on hand and foot? The never-ending supply of gourmet food? Or the undeserved adoration and respect? Respect? Seriously? That pissed me off. I gave him a good hard shove. I think you know better than that, asshole. Girls don't get respect freely in our world. They earn it. And you better believe any I've got, I earned. Not that I got much respect. Pretty much the opposite. They all either treated me like a breakable porcelain doll, there to accumulate value as I aged like a fine wine, or as a leper. Those who didn't fall all over themselves to gain my attention or approval avoided me like the plague, like my rebelliousness might be catching or something. Go figure. He didn't miss a beat. He shoved me back, not as hard as I'd pushed him, and scowled. Oh, I'll bet. Bat your big brown eyes and flip your wild red hair around while they all fall in line. Hard work, I'm sure. I blinked. Once. Twice. Three times. He'd pushed me. I opened my mouth, but couldn't force the words out. Unheard of. The daughters of an alpha were treated with kid gloves, wined and dined, and showered with excessive amounts of adoration and love. You wanted an $80,000 car to cruise around town in? Done. In the mood for an authentic croissant? Hop aboard the private plane and take a quick trip to France. Needed a peek at your favorite author's unreleased book? Don't worry. Daddy knows someone who can make that happen for you. Jackass? I shoved him again, this time harder. Of course, it barely registered. Guys like Slade didn't go down easily. If he'd been a normal human, I would have sent him flying. But seeing as how there was a wolf under all that great hair and deceptively charming smile... Spoiled brat! He fired back. Then he did it again. He pushed me. Only this time he didn't hold back. Much. He knocked me on my ass. I landed on the ground with a thud and was left staring up at him in shock. He gave me one final nostril-flared glare before turning on his heel and starting back toward his own house. As I watched him go, my brain kicked into overdrive. Slade wasn't afraid to break the rules. He didn't care about formalities and our society's stone-aged patriarchal bullshit, and had a reputation for causing a stir. His whole pack did. It's what had them teetering on the edge of being dissolved. An idea took shape. A plan that, if successful, might just spare me from being pimped out to the bluest bloodline. Pack daughters were married off to strengthen the bloodlines. It happened all the time. The daughters of alphas being forced into arranged marriages to wolves their fathers thought would improve the family. Every several generations, a different high-profile family in the wolf community forced one of its daughters to tie herself to the son of another alpha. It merged our supernatural gifts, creating stronger wolves and brought new blood into the fold, especially for a pack like ours that hadn't added a new member in almost a century. But my life was worth more than the blood that flowed through my veins. I refused to allow my future to be dictated by my pedigree. If there was even the smallest chance that I could do something to save myself... My father wanted me to start looking for a mate.
Choose one, or I'll choose for you, he'd said.
Fine. Then I'd do as I was told. That's what women in our society did, after all. Obeyed. I wondered how he'd feel about the big bad wolf next door.
Chapter 2. Slade. I smashed my fist against the dashboard, and cursed again. Piece of shit van had been giving me trouble for the last 3 weeks. Now the engine wouldn't turn over. Sure, I could have bought a new one. Could have bought an entire fleet if I wanted to. But I'd have to use his money. And I wanted no part of it. I turned the key one last time, and let my head fall back. I could walk. The school was only about 6 miles away. For a wolf, that was equal to jogging out to the mailbox and back. But I didn't feel like it. Maybe it was best to skip it altogether. After the day I'd had yesterday, and the scuffle Gavin and I had gotten into this morning resulting from it, I wasn't in the mood to be around anyone. My wolf was more restless than usual, and was looking for an excuse to cause trouble. I unfastened my seatbelt, and had moved to open the door, when a blast of cool air blew through the car. The passenger's door slammed closed with a whine, but I didn't turn. I could smell her the second it opened. Honey and apples. Same as when we were kids.
I can't believe you still have this thing,
I gripped the wheel and pulled in a deep breath. What are you doing in my van?
Obviously, I'm looking for a ride to school.
This time, I picked my head up. A ride to school? She was insane. Why the hell else would she crawl into my ride, after I'd caught her spying on me? And gracing me with conversation 2 times in 2 days? I'm sure I'm not worthy of the honor, princess. I reached across her and pushed open the door. Now get out.
First, stop calling me princess. It's annoying.
She pulled the door closed again.
And second, could you act like less of a dick for just a minute? I have something to talk to you about.
I grabbed my travel mug and took a long pull. The coffee was ice cold already, but I didn't care. One of my pack brothers made it, and it tasted like crap, hot or cold. No one in that damn house could make a decent cup of coffee. What could you possibly have to talk to me about?
I think we should date.
I just started to lift the cup again and froze mid-tip. The liquid missed my mouth and splashed into my lap. You think we should what? She rolled her eyes and proceeded to fasten her seatbelt.
I don't mean for real.
So you want to fake date me? I mopped up the spilled liquid with the end of my sleeve. Either someone had slipped her something this morning at breakfast, or she'd lost her damn mind. How would that work exactly? And why? Also, you're not my type. You've got no tits. Her expression darkened.
Pretty sure you don't have the opportunity to be picky.
She glanced down at her chest, then up at me.
And my tits are perfectly fine. Thank you very much.
What the hell are you talking about? She scowled at me and pulled her shirt tighter.
There is nothing wrong with my...
Not that. Picky. She slouched back in the seat, making herself comfortable, and flashed me a knowing grin.
I heard Gavin yesterday. He's pressuring you to find that special someone.
Pressuring wasn't the right word. It was too... tame. Gavin McAllister didn't pressure. He demanded. You did. End of story. If not, well, the repercussions were one of the many things that had given our pack a bad rep over the years. What's that got to do with you? I tried to start the van again. Nothing happened.
I got the same speech.
I snorted. I highly doubt you got the same speech I did. Mine had included several blows to the face and a chokehold. Hers probably happened over tea and fucking biscuits.
Whatever.
She shrugged.
The gist was the same.
I gestured between us with a snicker. And you think this is the solution?
Got a better idea?
She folded her arms.
Because I doubt any of the other eligible pack daughters will see your... potential.
And you do?
Course not.
She waved a hand in front of her face and scrunched up her nose.
You smell like cigarettes, and...
She leaned a little closer, breathed in a little deeper, and her eyes widened just a bit. There were flecks of gold in them I'd never noticed before.
Is that beer I smell?
I pressed my finger to her forehead and pushed her back.
How does pretending to date you help me? It's a mutually beneficial arrangement.
Pretending to date is mutually beneficial.
It solves both our problems. Your father won't be pressuring you, and mine won't be pressuring me. Win-win.
Oh. Yeah, sure. It's a solid plan. I tapped the side of my head and gave the keys another violent twist. Nothing happened. Oh, shit. But what about the obvious? She blinked.
Obvious?
You know, when they want us to actually claim each other?
Obviously, we won't let it get that far. And really, how could it? I think it's fair to say, with no particular prejudice to either family, that no one will be thrilled to see us together.
And that's when I really understood what this was about. Kenzie had always been a wild child, known in some circles as the Deaton's little monster. She wasn't on my top 10 list. But as far as pack daughters went... she was one of the better ones, and by better, I meant slightly less annoying than the rest. She challenged authority and snuck around behind her dad's back. Even though they showed her a certain amount of respect due to her dad's position in the coalition and her family history, the other daughters hated her. It was uncommon for the girls in our world to embrace their inner wolves. Underneath our human skin, we were volatile and uneven. We were creatures driven by instinct and need, desire and fury. Kenzie had embraced that. Hell, she lived for it. Me? I tried my hardest to keep that shit buried. You think your dad will stand for it? I shook my head and yanked the keys from the ignition. The damn thing picked the perfect day to die. Not a fucking chance. She rolled her eyes and sighed. Twisting, she undid her seatbelt and pushed open the door.
He'll have no choice. Pop the hood.
I pulled the lever without asking questions and followed her around to the front of the car.
See, they can force us into this archaic situation, but they can't choose who we enter it with.
Huh? She lifted the hood and bent over the edge, fiddling around in the engine.
Meaning, my father can force me to pick a mate. He can even pick one for me. But only if I refuse to pick one myself.
Are you sure about that? What the hell are you doing to my truck?
Fixing it, she said, straightening. And yes, I'm sure. I didn't spend an entire Sunday afternoon reading up on pack law for nothing.
Even if you're right, that doesn't tell me how it fixes anything. If we're not planning to claim each other, then how exactly does this solve our problem in the long run? When we end things, we'll both be right back where we started. This would be a delay at best. She glanced down at her hands. They were covered in grease.
We're not going to end things. When they see that we won't be dissuaded, they're going to give up and pass the burden to the next sibling in line. There's no way my father will let me go through with it.
I narrowed my eyes and took a deep breath to control the anger welling up in my gut. Go through with what? Hitching yourself to someone like me? I knew what they all thought of our pack, and most of the time, I didn't give a shit. If I were being truly honest with myself, something I tried not to do too often, then I'd admit they had good reason to look down on us. We were the thieves, the swindlers. The McAllister pack had a long reputation of taking what they needed, what they wanted, without giving a shit about the consequences. Someone had more money than us, and we stole it. Better car, we jacked it. Have a pretty girl, that was our specialty. We'd use our family's unique gift, a supernaturally charged magnet for the opposite sex, to steal her away too. And if someone stood in our way, well, you probably would never see them again. But despite all that, for some reason, her tone pissed me off. Maybe it was because I'd once expected more from her. We'd been friends, up until a few years ago. She'd always seen me as a person, rather than through my pack's reputation. Until one day, she didn't anymore. She cast her gaze downward, shoulders lifting slightly with a shrug. She stayed like that for a moment, before picking her head up and looking me right in the eye. The flecks there matched the shimmering highlights of gold that stood out against her red hair. Squaring her shoulders, she ran her hands down the sides of her jeans without looking away, smearing grease across the clean denim.
Start the truck.
Because it would magically start now? This girl was unhinged and delusional. Last I'd heard, the Deaton pack had an elemental affinity for fire, not automotive repair. I rounded the front and slid back into the driver's seat. Jamming the key in, I gave it a half-hearted twist. The engine turned over, and the old Ford roared to life without hesitation. What did you do?
Connected the wires that I unplugged last night.
You... wait, what? She came around to my window and folded her arms.
Well?
Well, what? This whole convoluted scheme of yours is completely one-sided. It gets you off the hook. Your dad won't allow you to pollute the gene pool, and you have a sister to fall back on. Mine won't give a shit. In fact, he'll probably shit bricks of happy. He hates your dad, and he'll view this as just another way to piss the old dog off. I get nothing out of this deal whatsoever. She frowned.
What do you want?
It was a good question. What did I want? I wanted to be free to live my life the way I wanted, for myself. I didn't want to be chained to my pack anymore, forced to live a life I hated, forced to do things I didn't want. That wasn't something she could give me. Sorry, princess. You don't have anything I want. She deflated, but pulled herself together. With a glance at her grease-smudged jeans, she shrugged and pinned me with a hardened expression.
Then I should get inside. If we're not going to do this, there's no reason for us to be seen together.
And there it was. Her inner pack, bitch. Yeah, wouldn't want that to happen. I rolled up the window and stomped on the gas with one thought in my mind. Just dodged a fucking bullet.
Chapter 3. Kenzie. I couldn't concentrate on school, much less enjoy the horrified stares and not-so-hushed whispers coming from the girls who passed in the hall. I hadn't bothered changing, so my jeans still sported the grease I'd smeared down the sides. After things with Slade had flopped so spectacularly this morning, I'd slipped into full-on panic mode. Normally, I would revel at their aversion. I mean, human and werewolf, I lived to make them all crazy. Everything from scandalizing the school by wearing the wrong color lip gloss and sitting with the social misfits, to appalling the pack daughters by shifting and rolling around in the, gasp, mud. Maybe I could run away, use the money I had secretly squirreled under my mattress, and disappear. I had to have 6, possibly 7,000 by now. Maybe. Who was I kidding? My father's resources were too vast for a stunt like that. He'd find me in 48 hours flat and drag me right back home again. He'd pass me off like a traded baseball card to whoever he deemed the most beneficial to the pack. I'd be trapped. There was a reason you didn't see many female wolves over the age of 18. The suicide rate in our world was off the charts. Hell, Slade's own mother had chosen that route rather than staying with Gavin. In most families, we were traded like commodities and used to improve the Alpha's standing. And while my father wasn't like that, and I knew he loved me in his own way, he did believe in the old ways. In the old laws. Pack daughters were revered and showered with love. Because we had the hardest lot in life. The bell rang and I collected my things. With each passing moment, I grew colder. Number. Was it worth trying to convince Slade again? What the hell could I possibly offer him? He didn't need money. I couldn't offer him material goods. There was no super secret information I could barter with. No. He was right. I had nothing he wanted. His father would view the pairing as a win. He'd see it as a way to get a stronger foothold in the coalition. He'd want Slade to follow through. And that wasn't something either one of us was interested in. He was my ace in the hole, but I would just be his joker. A stupid, useless card that had no value in the game. I was screwed. The weight of it came down all of a sudden, and I couldn't breathe. The walls shrank, and the air turned hot and stale, which was a terrifying contrast to the total body chill creeping into each one of my limbs. I cut a violent swath down the crowded hallway and propelled myself through the first door I came to. I was met by the soft sounds of a guitar. When I turned, Slade was on a stool in the far corner, plucking away at the strings, oblivious to the fact that someone had even entered the room. I'd heard him play when we were younger. He'd always had his mother's old guitar with him. Whenever he was upset about something, he'd pluck the strings. He'd gotten better, much better. The melody he strummed was heavy and dark. It was mournful, yet mesmerizing. I took a shaky step forward and sucked in a breath to pull my shit together. Is everything okay? Slate's head whipped around and he blinked several times like he wasn't sure he was actually seeing me. Some werewolf.
Bad morning. Wanted to be alone.
He pointed to the door.
So if you'd scurry off?
What happened? He set the guitar down and slid off the stool.
Excuse me?
You said it was a bad morning. What happened?
Why would you think it was any of your business?
He snapped. It wasn't. We weren't friends anymore. In fact, we pretty much hated each other, but something was obviously bothering him. A lot. If I had to bet, I'd wager all 10 fingers and a tail it had to do with Gavin. It always had to do with Gavin. Did something happen with your father? His eyes narrowed and his jaw tightened for just a second.
The hint of something dangerous flipped.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?